to the Healing Lifestyle Podcast, a sacred space for living, healing, and ascension. I'm your host, Shonda Domingo, ancestral medium, movement healer, and founder of Domingo Training. Here we explore mind, body, and spirit practices for wholeness and ascension through meditations, rituals, ancestral connection, and holistic living. Take a breath, take a moment, let's begin. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Healing Lifestyle Podcast. Listen, I'm going to jump straight into it. I am like, that's how I feel right now. I have someone very special to me, the one and only Zoe Flowers as our guest today. Zoe, thank you so much for joining me and being here with us. Now, let me run it down to y'all because I got to read the notes because that is how thorough this queen is, okay? All right, so listen up. All right, Zoe is a Reiki master, oral reader, and energy healer who facilitates individual and group healing retreats with a roster of students across the globe. In 2025, she launched Come to the Brink with Zoe Flowers, a podcast exploring who we become when the roles we once held, artist, sister, mother, father, son, daughter, and witness no longer define us. And it is an amazing podcast, all right?
Thank you. The podcast,
prompted by Zoe's experience sheltering in place with her mother's dementia diagnosis in 2023, cancer in 2024, and death that same year, forced her to confront the unresolved pain and complicated love that defined them for most of their lives. Come to the Brink features Zoe's reflections and conversations with caretakers, therapists, artists, authors, community leaders, and healers to discuss who we must become to pull ourselves back from the brink. 2025 sees the shutdown of Tituba Productions and creation of Not Easy, Not Hard, a multimedia production company dedicated to telling transformative moments that are not always easy, not always hard, but always real. Whether through books, narrative films, documentaries, or performances, Not Easy, Not Hard brings forth stories that heal as they reveal, like Zoe herself exists at the intersection of art, healing, and truth. You're welcome. I'm telling this to the audience. You're welcome. I am so excited.
Thank you.
Oh, man. I can tell y'all, before I even get into it, I have personally had, I don't even want to call it an ancestral reading because it was all the things. I had an Akashic record reading. My ancestor came through. Zoe was pulling tarot. Like, I call it a comprehensive soul reading for the year. And that was just for the year.
Yes.
I'm going to tell y'all, like, at the beginning of every month, I go back and listen to that reading so I can remember what I need to focus on for that month. And then I reflect back on the month that just passed and I listen to what you share with me that would occur or what I needed to focus on for that month. I'm like, yo, I really was like working on that. And that really came to pass or it came to fruition. So I was like, I got to share something. I tell all my clients about your Akashic record, full comprehensive reading. And I was like, I really wanted to just share you with people. And I had more questions about you as a human being and a spirit and a person. And so for June, we are focusing on, we're in summer, right?
Yeah.
We are in this season of what it means to thrive and come alive and live full in color and play and figuring those things out. And when I think of that, I think of you. When I think of summer, when it comes to summer, we're called to places, right? We vacation, we travel, we experience all of these things. And I think there's a really beautiful reflection that we could learn from summer when it comes to honoring our intuition when we're called to a place. And honoring our intuition when we're called to care for ourselves, nourish ourselves, and love ourselves, maybe in a way that we haven't before, but in a way that is necessary. And I know it's been a few, but I just feel like just from the encounters that I've had from you and the things you share with me about your journey, when I think of all of those things, I truly do think of you.
Oh my gosh. I think about you. That's so sweet.
I just think about you honoring having to take care of your mother, honoring the move to Canada, honoring the fact that you might have to move again. I know I only know like this of your process and your journey and having to honor that. And so can you, let's just start with your mindset when it comes to honoring when you're called to make a move and called to make a shift. What is that like for you?
Yeah, it's very fast. I don't really go back and forth. So for example, when I decided to move to Canada, it was just like, I wanted to go somewhere. I knew I wanted to get out of the States and I was going to go to Mexico. And I was on the phone with a friend who's 66 years old from rural South Carolina, never left the country, doesn't have a passport. And he was just like, I don't think you should go to Mexico.
He did.
He's like, I don't think you should go alone. And I really didn't want to go alone. It felt so far and like just alone, so scary with everything that happened last year. And he just goes, why not Canada? And I was like when I hear that, why not Canada? So then immediately on the phone with him, I'm like looking, oh, Canada's only a 5.5-hour drive. Great. I have friends in Montreal. I booked the Airbnb that night. And I was in Canada 2 weeks later. Yeah, because this all happened the night of the election. So I packed the night of the election. So yeah, I just packed up my Mini Cooper and came to visit in November, hung out with my friends to see if I could do it. Booked a long-term Airbnb while I was there, came back January 6th, and I'm still here.
What?
So it's
fast. When you talk about that click you said.
Yeah.
What does that click feel like in your body and in your in your brain? Like what happens when that click happens? What happens in between the click and the action?
I hear it. I hear the thing, the command. Mm-hmm. And literally, it's literally just like a And what it feels like, I guess, would be like just that, like just very quickly sort of assessing the possibility very quickly. I have a Gemini moon. I'm very like Mercury coded. So so the computing goes very fast. Oh, okay. A goes to B. Can I do this? Do I have the resources? All right. Who's there? How can I get there? Da-da-da. Very, very quickly. And if it makes sense, then that's it. So it's literally just a that's what it feels like in my mind. I can't really say what it feels like in my body because it's like everything is just very do it.
So you don't give yourself time to like let your ego talk you out of it, get into like this fear, lack, scarcity. When you feel it, you're like, bet, let's go. You know.
It depends on the urgency. Okay. Like if it's something like, okay, now I'm here in Canada, right? So here's the thing when you hear the click and you move and then you think about it afterwards. So it's like, okay, now I'm here. So now it's like, oh, so now what do I do? Everybody speaks French here. You don't speak French. Oh, you only have two friends here. Oh, you moved on January 6th. Who knew there was going to be a 100-year storm where you were going to be totally snowed in and your car gets towed and you don't speak French. So you're trying to ask the car tow people where your car is. And guess what? They can't tell you because they don't speak English, right? So it's like if it's an urgent thing and it feels right, then I'll do it. But if it's just like the little like day-to-day things, that's where I'll vacillate. Like, you know, what am I going to eat for dinner? You know, that's when my Libra stuff comes in, right? Do I go out grocery shopping or do I order in? That's when it gets real, you know, like thinking about the, okay, listeners, I'm going to use a lot of astrology and a lot of tarot, FYI. So in tarot, the major arcana are like the big secrets, the big things of life, right? The first 22 cards of the deck. And then the rest of the deck is the minor arcana. And those are the things of every day, the things of the mundane. So the big things, the major arcana things, that's it. There's no hesitation. But the little mundane things, that's where I go back and forth.
So have you always been like that with the big things? Has the click just always been there?
Always.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
So for those of us who don't get sick,
you're like,
or I'm like, ooh, I need some of that. All right. So for those of us who may not, who also may have the click, but don't know that that's what's happening. And then they think the urgency is paranoia, but they feel like they're supposed to listen to it. Right.
Yeah.
How would you encourage someone to tap into their own inner click to just to know, like, to know that you need to make a move?
Well, I suspect that most of us get the click, but we don't listen because we don't want to. We don't want to change. We don't want to leave the state. We don't want to leave the job. We don't want to do the things because we have an inherent lack mentality that nothing can fill that vacuum. So I trust that my vacuum is going to be filled. So it's not just paying attention to the click. It's understanding that if you jump, you will be caught. So maybe start with small acts of faith. Because in the big things, I have big faith. And I've always had that as a little kid. I've always known I was connected to something bigger. And when I got into trouble, it's because I didn't listen, right? So I would say start with small acts of faith. Maybe listen more intently. And maybe you're not going to get the click. Maybe you're going to get a song on the radio. Maybe you're going to get a conversation that you hear. Maybe you're going to get a color that only means something to you. So when you see it, you know, oh, that's my message. I'm supposed to move, right? So it's like maybe recognizing the way spirit talks to you. And then you will know how to answer the call. So then you will have to slow down and start to pay attention.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful way to put it. I love it. Okay, look at me. I'm trying to go on the journey. All right. So as we look at, like, you continuing to honor where you call, has it just been with physical places? Like being like, okay, I'm going to move to this place. I'm going to maybe make this decision. What other big decisions have you made where you've listened to the click that has worked out for you or has just changed your life in a major way?
Huge, huge. I've gone to lunch on lunch breaks and never come back to work. Huge. When I was younger, I got a message not to go to a party at a then situation's house, a party at that one of my situationships was having, because had I gone, I would have seen one of my friends sleeping with him on the kitchen floor, right? But spirit was like, you probably don't want to go. It's far. Just stay home. And I stayed home. And when I went to work on Monday, I heard how Irving and Debbie, real names.
I knew you was using real names. I knew off the bat. I was like, she just put the people out there. I already knew from what I know about you. I was like, that's them people real names. That's them people real names.
Allegedly, allegedly, for entertainment purposes only, Irving and Debbie were sleeping on the kitchen floor together. So I would have walked into that and seen that. Mm-hmm. On a more serious note, right. You know, I'm a survivor of domestic and sexual assault. And so there was an interaction that I had with my ex, and I was going to go to his house. So I was going to go back to his house because he kept calling me to go to his house. And spirit showed me, don't go to his house because he's got his sister in the woods and they want to brick your car. Mm-hmm. So I stayed home, right? So big things, small things, yeah. And so I just stayed home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tapping into that intuition and knowing that you can trust yourself, knowing that you know that you know, it'll mm-hmm. it'll save us.
And I wasn't even meditating then. I was like 21, you know, when those things happened, 21, 22. I was like partying in the club, like, you know, being a 20-year-old. And yet I knew that, like, even though I was partying and doing all the things, I always knew that there were some things that I couldn't do, that I couldn't get away with, that, like, my friends could. Like, so I just always knew that there was, like, a connection mm-hmm. to something there bigger.
Spiritual expectation and connection there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were just things that I couldn't really get away with that other people could.
And so I want to kind of that's a perfect segue into, I really want to also talk about when you, so you're honoring the cliques in your personal life. How did the cliques show up for you in your, I don't even want to call it like professional career, but in like your calling, in doing the work that you do? Like, I think about how, like, I was a personal trainer and a choreographer. And then it was just like, one day I just knew, like, I can't move like this no more because there's a spiritual component on top of what I do. And it was scary as hell to be like, I'm not doing this anymore. I talk to the ancestors now, and this is the work that I do in this. Yeah. But for me, it's always like, I hear the, you need to go do this. And I'd be like, that's crazy. And then I just like sit with it. But then once I feel like once, you know, I always say I'm spiritually spoiled. Once I get like 8 to 10 confirmations, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, fine, here we go. And then I'll mm-hmm. get into action. When it came to where you, did you find yourself in this completely other world first? And then you looked up and you had this kind of like spiritual calling career, or were you kind of always already on that path?
No, I like I said, like I'm a child, you know, I grew up in the 80s. So when I say I was in the club, I mean, I was in the club. I mean, we were driving to New York to go to the club, partying all night, sleeping at a friend's house, getting up and going to work at like 8 o'clock, right? So no, it was like, there was a call, but I was like, no, because at that point, all we had was like traditional Christianity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I had a spiritual call, but the only example was traditional Christianity. And so that felt like I would like lose a lot. That was the thing. I felt like if I really went like to whatever that thing was, I was going to like lose a lot. I wasn't going to be as fun. I wasn't going to be. So there was something always, you know, people probably always thought I was weird or different or whatever. And, you know, but so no. And as far as career, I stumbled into, I would say, the domestic violence career. Mm-hmm. And when I got into it, I started like my childhood started surfacing because, you know, we would have these conferences and we would play this tape. It was called the Lisa tape. And it was this little girl calling the police while her mom was being abused. And all of a sudden I started having nightmares and all these memories from, because I grew up in a house where there was violence. So all of these memories started to come up. And so then like a year or two in, I started looking at like all of the leaders in the movement, and so many women at that time, like leaders were like dying out of the work or unhappy or whatever. So then I started to be like, and so again, that's 22 years ago. Something was like, if you're going to stay in this domestic violence work, because I really thought that's what my work was going to be, you're gonna have to do something different. You're really gonna have to tap into your spirituality, like in a real way, right? So like in my 20s, I got introduced to Dr. Wayne Dyer and early Ayanla and all those things. And so that was like very life-changing, the science of the mind.
Right.
So I was like doing the mind stuff. But again, I'm living in Atlanta. It's like 1994, the height. The best time to be in Atlanta, the 90s. So, right? So we're clubbing, like I'm clubbing, what Club 112, what a play is, what, like all of that. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing poetry readings and I'm at the crystal store. And now I'm having people at my house, and I lived in a loft, and I would have these gatherings of women, and we'd be on my rooftop watching the sunrise, reading Sisters of the Yam. And like somebody brought like a yam cake, like a yam shake. So I'm like doing the sister circle stuff, right? So I'm like in the 90s. So I'm fully like neo soul. And so that's when I really started to like come in to myself, right? So then when I went to the job in 2000, I already was like, I was into feng shui. I was like into all those things. And then when I saw like, again, the dysfunction in the movement, then I was like, oh, I really have to be seen. Like, if I'm going to survive this work, the spirituality has to be at the forefront. And so that's really what happened. So that was a longer process.
Yeah.
Like there was a There was a point where I was at, were we at 112? No, we weren't at 112. We was at another club because my friends would come to visit me from Connecticut and we'd of course go to the club. And I went to sleep in the club.
Wow.
Because I was so bored of everything. I was so bored of everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they would come visit me and I would drop them off at the club and I would go home and then come back and pick them up. And I'm young still. I'm not even 30. But it was like, the spiritual world just became way more like exciting.
Exciting. Yeah. I was like, exciting, fulfilling. So you're not on that, like, that club search doesn't do it for you. Yeah.
It just stopped doing it. I mean, it's like this, you know, it comes and it goes, right? But at that point in my life, I really was like, okay, the spirit, it's time to stop running. It really needs to like be in the forefront.
Mm. So when we're looking at, I'm thinking about people who are listening, when you are looking at honoring that, like, it's time, right? It's time to, because when I think about thriving, that's what I think about. Like, thriving is like, it's time. Like, what are you stepping into? What are you...
Yeah.
What are you letting go of so that you can become, so that you can expand? And thriving in summer is kind of, I see it as this like conduit for us to be able to do those things for people who are in that space, right? They're looking at spirituality. They're looking at, oh, I'm on my healing journey, you know?
Yeah.
But you get to a point, I feel like, when you're on your healing journey where... You've learned, you got the tools. There's always tools, right? But you got like a good foundation, right?
Yeah.
And then you feel the triggers may still trigger, but you feel like you gotta know what's going on. And then there's this part where it's now it's time to go bigger. Now it's time to not just come home to yourself if you're more so, but now it's time to expand and to shine.
Yeah.
To be unapologetic about it. I feel like you get to a point on your healing journey where it's like now you can get real comfortable doing shadow work, right? And I got real, my ancestors used to say, you love detoxing, can you go put some love and healing like in yourself? They're like, you're a professional detoxer. You'd be like, oop, there go a wound, here we go, like,
let's get in there and explore it.
Like, let's get it, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
You gonna sit in a bath of milk and honey for a second? Like, what are you doing? So for people, and I feel like summer allows for us to really connect to that energy. So for people who are at this crossroads almost of, do I stay where I'm at because I know how to heal in this pocket? Or do I step into that light and heal into expansion and into business? Do I give myself the permission to thrive even if I don't know what's on the other side of it? I feel like from all the things you've shared with me, I feel like you choose to like, let's go. It's just, let's go. Okay, let's go. So for people who are hesitating with honoring the click, what can they do to choose to honor their bigness rather than their comfortability?
Well, that's a hard question for me because I like change and I don't like to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't relate to that. I just have to be transparent. Like I don't relate to comfort zones like that. But what I can say is the going back and forth is part of the journey. The fear and the doubt, because of course I still have fear and doubt and all of those things. Maybe it's just feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Who said that? Audre Lorde or somebody brilliant.
Like, that's a, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of, because that is the separation. That's the only difference between like knowing the tools and living the tools. And it's so funny because I did a IG live reading yesterday and that's what came up in the reading. It was, you keep taking the classes, but if you're not living the classes, what are you doing? And there's nothing wrong anywhere people are in your journey. It's kind of just where you are. We don't need to like make a story about it, right? Like, oh, I'm stuck. Da, da, da. It's just the going and the coming is part of the journey. So we need to honor ourselves wherever we are. But if we are sort of in that in-between place and we want to move forward, then I think that we could do something very, like, very material. Write down what you're afraid of. Are you afraid of losing friends? Are you afraid of losing family? Are you afraid of being big? And if you hear, yeah, I'm really afraid of being big, then write that down too, right? Really get to the root of like what you're really afraid of. And I'm sure there'll be some core beliefs, right? Under that. Oh, I'm afraid that people won't like me if I get too spiritual. Oh, I feel like people will think I'm weird, right? Oh, I don't feel like I'm good enough to be a spiritual whatever, or whatever the dream it is. Deep down, maybe I don't really feel like I deserve that. So write that stuff down. And then you could also be very practical. Pros and cons. Pros of staying where I am, cons of staying where I am. Real practical.
Mm-hmm. No, I love
that. And just decide if it's worth it. We have to decide if our dreams are worth it.
Touche.
It's a decision.
Yes. That part.
And this is a lifestyle. So can I share a story?
Please.
Okay. So I interviewed one of my students a couple of weeks ago for my podcast. And I asked him, like, why did he get on this spiritual journey with me? Because he liked tarot cards, but he wasn't really into cards and he really wasn't like into spirituality. And then he took my tarot class. And then a couple months later, he invites me to come hang out with him in Fire Island, just out of the blue. And then I get there and I'm like, so why am I here? Because he's like, you just make your way here and everything else will be taken care of. Great. I love that. So I get there, and again, this is the click, right? I'm driving, and the whole time I'm driving, I'm like, I don't know where I'm staying. I've never been to Fire Island before. Like, I just know it's like a cool place, you know, for the gays in New York. Fine. So the whole time I'm in the car, I'm driving, then I'm on the ferry. You got to take a ferry to get there. And I'm like, girl, what are you doing? Like, what? Like, what's really going on?
We're here.
So I get there, and I'm like, so why am I here? And he was like, I want you to be my spiritual teacher. So now here we are a year later of working together. So he's on the podcast and I asked him, what made you get on this journey? And he said, I took your tarot class and I liked the lifestyle. And I was, the lifestyle? That means he just liked what he saw. Cause it's not like this is a tarot class. I'm not teaching anything about a lifestyle. But I guess he saw that, like, this is legitimately like my life and he wanted it. Yeah. Not my life, but his own version.
Yeah. With that
lifestyle.
In summary. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's the name of the podcast, you know, is, and I tell my clients that all the time. I'm like, you don't get to heal in pockets. Like, the only way you will feel the benefits of it and the only way you'll get to go to where it is you are destined to go fully and fully experience that is if it is your lifestyle, and that comes with a lot of changes. But the more you heal, the things you think you're gonna miss, you don't even miss it. Like the things you think you can't go without, and the people you think you would never live without, give it time. You'll be fine.
Don't give it up. My mother, before she passed, when I first stopped eating meat, she used to make fun of me because I had to have pork 3 times a week. I would come home from school and make hot dogs, and then hopefully she would make pork chops for breakfast, or dinner, I was a pork eater. And then one day I stopped eating pork and I haven't eaten it in over 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like, it's just a lifestyle. It's just like a lifestyle. So now I don't even, unless I smell bacon, if I smell bacon, I'm like, oh, bacon. But for the most part, I don't miss bacon. Mm-hmm. I miss pork chops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know, the same way. I'd be good. Then they pull a bacon out and I'd be like,
but it's fine. I know. It smells so yummy.
And I'd be like, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
No, but no, thank you for sharing that, because no matter, it for me, what I really received from that is no matter what tools you're using, right, to do your work, to get yourself out of those limiting beliefs and out of those wounds, no matter what the tool is, it still is going to be a lifestyle.
Yeah. And the lifestyle is, we are the tool.
Exactly.
We are the crystal.
Yep.
We are one with God, Goddess, Jesus, whoever we worship. Mm-hmm. And I think that once we really like accept that, that's when things start to shift.
Yeah. You are the power. I always tell people, yeah. like, no one is healing you. You are healing yourself.
You're the one.
You're the one. You're just open to a certain energy to activate what's already down on the inside of you. You are the power. You are
exactly. The
power. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So to wrap it up in a bow for us, right? So when we're looking at like thriving this summer, like what I hear you say and what I am inspired by to really step into power and breakthrough and thriving is just choose to do it. Choose to do it. And even when it gets scary, make your list, do your journaling, do whatever you have to do to get you on the other side of that fear. Do whatever you have to do to get you to the click and the action. And when you can embrace it as a lifestyle of being on that journey, you'll find yourself in the bigness of where you're meant to be.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
It's a mind.
Yeah.
It's a mind thing. It's like all of our rituals for me are to trick the mind, because everything starts in the mind. So yes, I like to do rituals because it's fun too. It's so fun. And then when things start to manifest, that's even more fun. But a lot of it, again, it's like just unraveling all of the miseducation and all of the indoctrination and all of the programming and all of the conditioning. That to me is what the rituals are for.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 1,000%. I used to think, so when I first, I was like, I used to think the rituals were like, oh, this is magic, and then I'm gonna wake up tomorrow. But magic in a way, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow, and it's gonna be like a Disney movie. My whole life is gonna be And then after a while, especially with my ancestors, you know, they'd be like, poor baby, she gonna get it. It's gonna click one day. And I just, when I realized that the healing wasn't working the way I wanted it to because of my mindset.
Yeah.
That was the day everything changed.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, I was like, oh, I just need to change my mind. Like, yeah. I have to unravel, unprogram, and it's beautiful. It's beautifully scary, the levels and access of power that you realize you have as you begin to uncover how powerful your mind really is, especially when you begin to see it materialize.
Yeah,
in your face. Yeah, that's what the healing is for. Yeah, it's that healing of the mind. That the lifestyle is so we can integrate in all the forms in which we exist.
Yeah. And so that we can recognize, again, so that we can like recognize the click or the song or the message or all in our body. But if we're moving so fast, we're going to miss it. Mm-hmm. You know? There was something else cool happened. Just an example. So I left on January 6th, right? Again, I didn't, you know, I thought about it for a couple weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And then now I'm here. January 6th, and now it's like February, and now I'm thinking, oh my, I left my house that I inherited when my mother passed with a lot of my stuff in it. I got rid of a lot of our things, but I still have, so now there's an empty house sitting in Connecticut, and I'm like talking to one of my friends, and I said, and I looked at my ancestor altar when I was talking to my friend, and I said, geez, if I could just rent this house, it would be just like, it would help me so much if I could just get some people that I trust in that house. Got off the phone with her like 45 minutes to an hour later. My uncle sends me a text. Hey, the two dudes are interested in renting the house. Now, mind you, I had just done a ritual. I did a ritual on MLK Day. I did a ritual on MLK Day with some trees across from my apartment. And this was like, I think the day after that ritual. So it was a pretty fast turnaround. Since I moved here, my turnaround is getting quicker. So I also think there's something about place where you feel. There's something also about place. So so I just had that thought. So then my uncle's like, yeah, some people want to rent the house. So we had conversations. Long story short, February 6th, a month to the day that I moved, I was in Connecticut signing the lease to rent my home, a month to the day.
Wow.
two wonderful renters, two wonderful elderly gentlemen who were like, oh, this is messed up in the house. Don't worry about it. We'll fix it.
I always say, asking you, let Mary go above and beyond for you.
I was like, because it hasn't been like that for a while. Last year was so hard. So I just was like, wow, things are like really turning around. Like, finally.
Yeah. But it also, you know, that power of the energy behind what we say.
And I let it go too, you know, it wasn't, yeah. I was ruminating on it. I literally just was like, oh, it would help me so much. And I looked at the altar and I just said, it would just help me so much if I could just rent that house. Mm-hmm. It's rented.
I feel like you said something key that I really hope people took from that. You let it go after you said it.
And yeah.
I'm learning that helps you, that it brings in things so much quicker. When you're able to just put it out there and then you let it go and you don't harp on it, like, it comes around so much faster. Yes. I did that with some Alvin Ailey tickets. Like, I saw the billboard and was like, oh, I want to go to Alvin Ailey so bad. I was like, please, 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 please. Yeah. I felt like it was just Tiana in the movie. I was like, please, 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 please. And I was like, I forgot about it. I just, like, went about my business and coffee. A friend of mine, see you later. She was like, oh, I got this free Alvin Ailey ticket. You want it?
Period.
And I was like,
period.
Like, come on. So then I was like, so my belief started kicking in. So then I saw Hamilton was coming. I was like, please, 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 please. And then I like let it go. And then maybe like a week later, a friend of mine was like, I got you Hamilton tickets for your birthday. And I was like, this works. I don't care what anybody says.
It does work. Yeah. It works. Yes. It works. It works. Don't listen to all these people who are angry talking about like work. It works. Okay. Yes. It's a lifestyle. It's just like, it's different things. It's like things like that. And then there's things like when I wanted to move into my loft or when I wanted my car. When I wanted my car, I would drive around in that lot for years, just looking at the cars, envisioning, you know, typical manifestation, imagining myself in the car, imagining my friends in the car, imagining being on road trips. And then boom, I got it in 2020. But it took a while for me to like get there because I didn't want a car now.
Because some things got to shift too, depending on where.
Some things we have to like, you know, work around our, you know. And yeah, when I wanted to move in my loft, I would just go and sit in the parking lot and eat my lunch every day and just like imagine myself going in and out. And so it depends.
Yeah, but it's real. It works. And I just thank you for bringing it back to that mindset piece. Because I think people sometimes have to understand that mindset piece is it's a non-negotiable part of your lifestyle and your journey.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yes,
for sure. Because you might get what you want, but we either won't appreciate it or we'll lose it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You have to have the capacity and the gratitude to hold space for it. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was awesome.
This was fun.
I know, right? I love talking to you. Can you please share with everyone where they can find you? Where they can listen to the podcast, where they can book meetings or sessions or consultations with you. How can people stay connected to you and also work with you?
Yeah. So thank you for having me on again. This has been so fun. And this is like my first conversation like this since I got to Canada. So it's just like really, really lovely and what I needed. So I would say I'm very easy to find on social media. It's just iamzoeflowers.com, I-A-M-Z-O-E flowers. That is my website. That's Instagram. The podcast, A Come to the Brink with Zoe Flowers, you can find on anywhere where you get podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify. There's that. It drops every Tuesday at 7:11 a.m., and I think that's it. My YouTube channel is The Magic Hours, MagicHours. So there are a lot of astrology postings there. I haven't been posting as regularly. That's why I'm kind of hesitant to share it. I'm much more active right now on IG for some reason. So yeah, I do daily Instagram readings, like energy readings for the day. And yeah, and then I'll send you all the information so you can put it in the show notes for people to find me. Yeah, and readings, yeah, just iamzoeflowers.com. I do all kinds of readings, Akashic Record, ancestors, relationships. I did a reading a couple of weeks ago for a widow, called in her husband on the other side and did an astrology relationship reading.
Wow.
That's I've never done before. So
it'd be happening like that. You'd be like, well, this is new.
Here we go. An astrology reading for me and my partner who's deceased. I was like, let's do it.
That's awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. So y'all, please, like Zoe is, she's just a, I feel like just a beautiful teacher to have, whether it's just someone you listen to or someone you work with personally. I just feel like she's such a gem of a teacher to have as a reference and as a resource. So definitely please stay connected to her. Thank you again so much.
Yeah.
Everything you need, I'll put in the show notes, y'all. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for taking the time. I'm going to put a little, I have my little chakra card deck that I am like obsessed with and I love. And so I just like to pull out a chakra card. They have affirmations for us that we will close the... Ooh, all right, all the cards pulled. All right, this one pulled out. Yo! Okay, I'm sorry. I just did. So I just literally recorded the message for the week and this same card came out. So here we are. So the card that came out is our root chakra card and the theme is independence. So here are our affirmations for this episode. I know what my needs are. And I actively pursue them, knowing that I will be guided and protected for when I put in the effort. You just said that in the episode. You can't make this up. I open myself to all possibilities and participate fully in life. I use my imagination and my vision to initiate what I wish for and I pursue it. And here's the last one. I am not waiting to be rescued. I am not a victim. I am strong. I can't make this up. You cannot make this up. There we have it. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all, just let it snap and take that action. No one's coming to save you. So you may as well step into what you feel you're being, what you know and feel you're being called to do and walk into. Keep going, keep growing, keep healing. And I'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me on the Healing Lifestyle Podcast. May today's reflections support your healing, your ascension, and your wholeness. To deepen your journey, book an ancestral reading or explore my new ebook guide, Chakra Wellness. This gives you the foundation for healing with crystals, herbs, and movement. Visit DomingoTraining.com or connect with me on social media at DomingoTraining. Until next time, keep going, keep growing, keep healing.